35th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 35. And while you're turning there, I want to read from 1 Peter, some scripture that we were reading this morning, as a matter of fact. It's been heavy on our list of things we've been talking about. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, we read these words, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," manifold trials, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that the preciousness of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Our trials, the trials of our faith, do you have trials with your faith? Are you weak? I am. "And in the trials of my faith, which is much more precious than the gold that perisheth, even though that gold be tried in fire, my faith might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I'm not sure why. Maybe they didn't have the technology we have. But it seems to be that axe heads would come off the handles quite often. Or, I don't know, there's other examples of how one might kill a person accidentally. And if you so did so, if it happened to you that you accidentally hurt somebody or committed a sin against somebody, God instructed Israel to build some cities they called the cities of refuge. Cities that you could go to and be spared from whatever punishment might be coming against you from those that you sinned against, the relatives of one who may have been killed, or for whatever reason you might be able to think of in that manner. So, here these cities were built. They were built so that you could go to them and be kept safe until the time of your trial came. It was so much to be so easy to get to, the Lord instructed the men to go out and remove all the pebbles. Make sure the road was flat. Remove all the difficulties so that you could get there. You didn't have to come down to the front of the aisle. No, you just go straight to the Lord. That's what the city of refuge is a picture of, the Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge. I want to bring to you this morning a message that I've titled, "My Refuge." And I pray that this is the refuge that you seek to also. I hope that you can say, "That's my refuge. That's the refuge I rest in. That's the refuge that keeps me." Our refuge is so much better than that city, because the city of our refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ, took all of our condemnation upon himself. When that day of judgment comes, the God Almighty will look upon his people and say, "Judgment's been paid. My son took it all." In chapter 35 of Numbers, beginning at verse 9, we read these words, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge. for you that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation of judgment. Now I want you to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 11, if you would. Cities of refuge that would protect one from the judgment. The judgment that they so richly deserved. The very judgment that we deserve. Ezekiel chapter 35. I'm sorry, 11. 11. Where did I go here? Yep. Chapter 11. Mark Ezekiel 11, if you would, please, because we're going to go to some other scriptures and come back. Read verse 16 with me, if you would, of Ezekiel chapter 11. Therefore say, our Lord giving instructions to Ezekiel to say to the people, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them afar off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, isn't that what our Lord has done with us? Don't we love that verse in scriptures where the Lord tells the lady at the well, just before we read about her at the well, I must go through Samaria. Doesn't that apply to all of the places God's children are? I must go through here, I must go through there, I must go through rescue. Must go through Madisonville, must go through Marysville. There's God's people there. Although I have cast them afar off, it says, among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them. Whew. This is that city we were just talking about. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary, a refuge in the countries where they shall come. No matter where the Lord has sent his people, there's going to be a refuge, a city of refuge, a little sanctuary somewhere where God has got for his people to hear the gospel, the good news. The good news that though you have killed, though you have lied, though you have sinned against me, you can go to this refuge, and that refuge is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says right there. God Almighty will be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. Who's doing the work here? God Almighty. He's not just the one who's going out and calling his children out of darkness as he has you and I. He's put the city together for us to run to. Everything we need is provided by our Savior. Everything. Oh, but John, don't we have to accept him into our hearts? Black, stony, dead heart can't accept anything. God has to do a work in that heart before you can do anything. Yes, you must accept the Lord. Absolutely. But your heart that you were born with won't. It can't. We must be given a new heart. And you will read about that in just a moment. Look, mark your spot in Ezekiel. Well, let me finish reading verse 17 first. Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Spiritual Israel. Remember, we talked about this in Friday night's Bible study. Israel was nothing more than a picture of God's spiritual Israel. All of his people. All of those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began are spiritual Israel. These are all the ones that the Lord talks about when he says, all that the Father giveth me. All that the Father giveth me. That's Israel. the land of Israel shall be ours, and it's given to us by him. I will give you the land of Israel, it says. Now, turn over to, and we're talking about those who are gathered. He says, gather you from the assembly of people. I think of a holy calling. Holy calling. Turn over to 2 Timothy 1, and let's read 6 through 10. 2 Timothy, this holy calling, this gathering. A gathering by God Almighty, a divine calling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, we read these words, wherefore I put thee... Now, did anybody miss that? Was that a, if you walk down the aisle, I'll do this? If you get baptized, I'll do this? If you come to the altar that's down here in front, I'll do this? Brother Moose Parks was telling me how one of the churches that he was asked to come and be a pastor of over there in the Virgin Islands, when he first got there, he said there was a kneel post along the front. I've seen those before in some churches. And you're supposed to come down and kneel at the altar at the front of the church. He said, I didn't say anything to anybody. Within 30 days, it was gone a little bit at a time. It took the sides out first. And eventually, that front piece was gone too. He says, only one person came up and asked, hey, what happened to those things? Well, we don't use those. We call you to the altar who is Jesus Christ. And I started calling you that at the beginning of the message. He is our altar. Come to him. There's only one place of salvation, folks, and that's in the Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We read here in 2 Timothy chapter 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirrest up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and the sound, and of the sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel. Who hath, afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, back in our text. Our Lord has called his people with a holy calling. This is what it's talking about where he says, I will even gather you from the people. How does the Lord call us with a holy calling? Through the preaching of his word. Through the preaching of the truth. His word is truth. It is how are we going to call upon one whom we don't know, who we've never heard of? Are we going to call upon the true and living God if all we've heard about is this wannabe Jesus who wants you to do something, who's waiting for you to do something? How can you call on the true and living God if you haven't heard about the one who is sovereign over everything? Sovereign over the will of man. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Isn't that what Scripture says? True children of God, we know it is not our will. Jesus must call us with a holy calling. Look again at Ezekiel, this time verse 18. And they, those who have been called with a holy calling, shall come hither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof. And from this is what I was talking about when Moose just shared with us. He got rid of that stupid thing in the front of this piece of wood. That's not the altar. Christ Jesus is the altar. They'll get rid of man's free will. They'll get rid of the abominations, the evils that men use to make up their own imaginary gods. They'll turn from idols, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. Again, hold your place in Ezekiel. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, we read in verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, of your election. Do you ever stop to wonder how Paul knew of somebody's election? How they were chosen of God? How do I know whether you were chosen of God or not? There is a way to tell, you know that? There is a way to tell, and we're going to see that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, of your election. Now, I can't see your heart, but I can see your actions. I can see, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. God has moved you folks to come here this day over and over and over every Sunday, Friday night, whenever you can be here, to hear His gospel preached again. Knowing, brethren, beloved, of your election, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in such assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, the same word of God that satisfies and makes a refuge for this sinner who stands before you is the same God, God's word that makes him a refuge to you. And you became followers of us and not of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, and delivered us from the wrath to come. We've turned from idols. We've turned to the living God, our refuge. There was no refuge in those other things. We know what we can and cannot do, don't we? Is there anyone here who thinks they can be righteous before God? Then you're not hearing the Word of God. Every one of His children know where we stand before God in this flesh. That's the first thing our Lord brings us to know. To know that we have a need for a Savior. And then He shows us the most wonderful Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. This one who is perfect in every way. Our righteousness is His. His righteousness imputed to us. Perfect. Perfect. It has to be that way for us to be before God in eternity. All of our sin was laid upon Him. We have turned from what we worshipped as idols, and idols can be anything. Money, Harley Davidsons, work, loved ones, self. That was my idol, self. And serve the living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Back in our text, we read in the 19th verse of Ezekiel, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. I cannot help but think about what we read, the new birth in John. Turn over to John chapter 3. Let's read about that. this new heart that the Lord gives us. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, we read these words, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night." Did you notice that? He came to Christ by night. He didn't want everybody to see him. "No, I've heard something. I've heard something, but I don't want my fellow people to see where I'm going. I don't want them to know that I'm going over to ask a question about this. What is this all about? This Jesus of Nazareth." He comes to him by night, and he says unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher." They knew he was a teacher. This carpenter was standing in the synagogues talking about all the things that they read about in the Old Testament. How does this guy know that? He didn't go under any learning of anything. We know that he's a man of God. God has blessed him with the knowledge of his word, and he didn't even go to school. That's because he's the author of his word. All of it. Old Testament and New. It all points to him. When he was on the road with those two men, after the Lord had been raised from the dead, he was on the road to Was it Emmaus? That's not the right road. Yeah, Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. He was on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples. Remember what he said to him then? He said, he expounded from the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and throughout all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. "We know," Nicodemus says, that thou art a teacher come from God. "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "Wait a minute, what? How can a man be born again? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Folks, we all come into this world with a dead heart. This is what it's talking about back in our text, that, "And I will give them one heart." Did you notice that? One heart. You got the same heart as I got. That's the heart of Christ. That's Christ dwelling in us, the hope of glory. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." That's what we're reading about here in John chapter 3. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh, that which is born of the flesh that you and I were born with, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." And here's what I want you to read with carefulness. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Back in our text. Let's read verse 19 one more time. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Now I know today has been a very short message. We're cutting it out about 20 minutes early, maybe. But the point of Jesus Christ being our refuge doesn't take long to understand for a sinner, does it? We need something. We can't do it our own. that old man that used to run around thinking he was the center of the universe, God brought to his knees and showed him that he was nothing before him. That's what he did to all of us. That's what he does to all of his children. Shows us where we stand before him, and we come seeking the Lord. Come seeking that refuge, that city of refuge. Our Christ, the one that we know took our judgment for us. All of our judgment was laid upon him. All of our iniquities were laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. I read this verse in Bible study. I'm going to read it again. We'll get it here. Don't you just love these words? Listen to this. I don't get tired of ever hearing this. And even though you were here for Bible study, I'll bet you you don't get tired of hearing it one more time. There is therefore now no condemnation. You cannot be condemned. Our Savior was condemned for us. He is our city of refuge. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen.